Today's shiur is Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Aleph. We will begin on the top line, at the end of the top line, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Oimim Shimer B'Kiva. B'Rishayna Mayo Oimim. As we've been discussing from the Mishnah about the shiur Hayoim, what is the shiur that was said in Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah told us that actually one year there was a mistake made. So the Gemara discusses what is the shiur of every day, something we actually say every day. What is the Shir Hayoim for Sunday? L'shem Aretz Meloyei. Kapitel Chaf Dalet. Hashem Shekana V'Hiknet V'Shalet Ba'Olamai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquired the world. He obviously acquired the world because the whole world belongs to him. There was no one else on Yom Rishon. V'Hikna. Since the whole world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has the right to give it to whoever he wants. He's the Shalat Balamai. The Mefarshim say the word Meloyoi, this is a Perek and Tillim that we say very often, we should understand the words. Meloyoi means that even though on the first day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the whole world wasn't yet finished, we had Sheshes Yimei Bereishis. But in the creation of the first day was everything. Meloyoi, the entire potential of what exists in the world was already there on the first day. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it out as the Sheish Shmei Bereishis continued. And the Mefarshim explained this is really the basis of one of the first Rashi's of Chumash. Kanav Hikna Olamai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He does with it what he wants. That Rashi teaches us that why did the Torah begin with Pashas Bereishis? Elokoyach Masov. Higad la'amoy, losses lahem nachlas goyim, that if the goyim come and say, listem atem, that you took the world, you took the country away from us, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say, I created the world, I was kana v'hikna v'shalat ba'lamoy, and I could decide to do with the world, with whatever part of the world, as I see fit. V'sheni ma'yoyimr, what did they say on Monday? What do we say on Monday? Godl Hashem muhul ma'oid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great. El Shechilak Ma'asov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the second day, we know it says in the Chumash, he separated the Rekia, the heavens from the earth, U'molach Aleihem. And as the Perek speaks about, that Yerushalayim, if a knife misoyes kol aretz, Yerushalayim is separate than the rest of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world different degrees of Kedusha. B'shlish Ma'ayimrim, Elkim Nitzav Badas Kel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with his judgment. Hashem Shegila Oretz B'Chachmasai. That was the day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu uncovered the earth. The world was covered with water. He uncovered the earth. V'Heichon Tevel Adasai. This is the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live in. And to live in the world the way He wants us to live. That's why Kim Nitzav Adaskel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives with us and gives us direction what kind of lives we should live. B'Rvi'ai Oimer Kel Nekomes. Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a vengeful God. Hashem Shebara Chama Levana, that was the day the sun and the stars and the moon were created. V'asli Par Mevdeim. The sun and the moon, the planets, are generally what is referred to what they used to serve as Avodah Zarah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I created the sun and the moon as part of the creation, not that they should be Avodah Zarah. We sing to God His strength. It was a day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the birds and the fish. And as the Mefarshim explained, there's so many species and varieties of birds and fish. When somebody pays attention and realizes all the creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, he comes to certainly praise Him and realize His greatness. V'shisha ha'yomrim, Hashem molech geyus lovesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts on His glory, Hashem shagam malchusoy, that's the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu, completed His work, u'molech aleihem, and He rules over the world. And as the Mefarshim explained, Yom HaShishi, the sixth day of creation was the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the person, Adam, who was the purpose of the creation, of the entire creation. And as we say in the Mizmor for Yom HaShishi, Shishi Aftikain Tevel Baltimoit. Now the world came to a tachlis, so to speak. The world reached its goal when the person was created, who's the epitome and the goal of a Bria Olam. What about Shabbos? Miz Mashil Shabbos, the Yom Shekula Shabbos. So Bekiva says we say on Shabbos, Miz Mashil Yom Shekula Shabbos, because it refers to a day in the future, a perfect world, Yom Shekula Shabbos. Or Rav Nechemiah. So Rav Nechemiah has a difficulty with this. It says, Ma roch echomim l'chalek bein prokem alolu. If we look at Rav Akiva's explanation for the different Shir Hayoims, we'll see that the first 6 days refer back to Bria's Ha'olam. Shabbos is referring to what's going to be. So Rav Nechemiah is bothered with this inconsistency. Therefore, he says, Ella, and the first part is really a repetition, so we'll say it somewhat faster. Al Brisha Shekonav Hiknav Shalap Alomai. B'Sheni Shechilik Masav Moloch Aleim. B'Shlishi Shegil Eretz B'Chachmosoi V'Heichen Tevel Adosoi. B'Revia Shebar Ocham V'Lavona V'Osili Parim Yavdeyem. B'Chamishi Shebar Oifas V'Dogm L'Shabek L'Shmoi. B'Shishi Shegom Malachto Yemoloch Aleim. B'Shvi Al Shem Sheshovas. Not the purpose of the Miz Mishil Yom HaShabbos speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days, and Shabbos he rested. The Kamifli with Rav Kitina says the Gemara, what is the basis of the machloikas between Rav Akiva and Rav Nechemya? It's around what Rav Kitina said. Dom Rav Kitina, Shita Alpha Shona Hava Alma. The world as we know it will be in creation for 6,000 world, will be in existence for 6,000 years, for Chat Chorav. And then for 1,000 years, the world will be, the word Chorav means desolate. Why 1,000 years? Because the Pasuk says, V'nizgav Hashem levadoi b'yomahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be left only one in the world b'yomahu in that day. We know that the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ke'elef yom b'necha k'yom esmael, that what's by us 1,000 years is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu one day. So one day, the world will, one day in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's measuring stick, the world will be desolate. That's what Rabbi Kiva holds. So when the Pasuk says, Miz Mashir L'Yoyim HaShabbos, there will be one day of Shabbos, of Chorv, that's what Rabbi Kiva holds. However, Rav Nechemya holds like Abaya. Abaya Matrei Chorv. There will be 2 days, or 2,000 years, where the world will be desolate. Shenema Yechayenu Miyomayim. We will have 2 days of Chorv. So in other words, just like to learn the Gemara simple, what the Gemara is saying is that according to Rav Nechemya, the world will be desolate for 2,000 years. If the Pasuk says, Miz Mashir L'Yom HaShabbos, that pasuk can't be talking about the future world, because that only speaks about one day. So it must be that Miz Mashil Yom HaShabbos is not speaking about the future, it's speaking about the past. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Gemara is somewhat difficult to understand. What's the machloikis here? And moreover, the Mefarshim ask a very simple question. The point of contention between Rabbi Akiva and Nechemiah is only over one day. It's only over Shabbos. The first 6 days of Nechemiah and Rabbi Akiva agree. The only machlokes is why we say Miz Mashil Yom HaShabbos. So why did the Gemara have to repeat when it says Rabbi Nechemiah's position, what he says about the first 6 days? There's nothing new there. So Mefarshim explain like this. Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Akiva are having a very fundamental machlokes. And what the Gemara is trying to teach us is don't make a mistake. Don't think that Rabbi Nechemiah agrees with Rabbi Akiva that Miz Mashil Yom HaShabbos speaks about the future, like Rabbi Akiva said. And then Rabbi Nechemiah says, you know what? It doesn't only speak about the future, it also speaks about the past. Says the Gemara, that's not Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah completely disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, Miz Mashil Yom HaShabbos speaks about the future. And according to Rabbi Nechemiah, you can't speak about the future. Because that pasuk says it's going to be only 1,000 years of Chorav. And according to Rabbi Nechemiah, it's going to be 2,000 years of Chorav. So to emphasize the difference of opinion that exists between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Nechemiah, the Gemara repeats what Rabbi Nechemiah says. But the Rambam says, It's very hard to explain these things or understand these things. We said that the world will be desolate for 1,000 years. What does it mean the world is going to be desolate for 1,000 years? The Rambam says the world won't look the way it looks now. But exactly how the world will look during those 1,000 years, I don't know. I certainly don't know. But Musa the Shabbos Mayayimer, what did they say by Musa when they brought the Musa on Shabbos? Amar Rav Anan bar Rava, Amar Rav, Haziv Loch. Haziv Loch represents the Parshas Hazinu. And Parshas Hazinu, this is the 6 places in Parshas Hazinu where we have Aliyas. Hey stands for the beginning of the Pasha. Hazinu Hashemayim. Zayin is Zechor Yumais Olam. Shlishi is Yaakovei Abom Se'oritz. Revi is Yara Hashem V'yinatz. And Chamishi is Lulei Kas Oyev Ogur. And Shishi is Kiyodin Hashem Amoy. At least that's the way Rashi says this. So the Mefarshim explain, what the Gemara is teaching us is very beautiful pshat. The Gemara is teaching us that Shabbos is greater than the weekdays. And during the weekday, what do we use for the Shir Shal Yoyim? Prokim of Tehillim. Shabbos, we use Psukim from Chumash. Obviously, Chumash is more than Tehillim. How is that represented in these words? Haziv. Haziv means glory. Haziv l'cha, Moshe Rabbeinu, we know Koron Arponov. His face shined. So too, Shabbos, we're in a higher madrega than we are during the week. And that's why on Shabbos, we say Psukim from Chumash, by Musaf of Shabbos, and during the week, we say Psukim from Tehillim. But there's even a deeper pshat that I saw. When did Moshe Rabbeinu say Parashas Hazinu? Moshe Rabbeinu said Parashas Hazinu at the transition, when he was giving up the reins of Klal Yisrael to Yeshua. Shabbos by Musaf is the time when the Mishmaris changed. The Mishmaris to the Kohanim, the old Mishmar left, and the new Mishmar came in. So it's most appropriate that we should say Hazinu, which was said when there was an original transition from Moshe to Yeshua.
So how many of these
Pesukim
do they say in Shabbos?
Says the Gemara, V'amar Rav Chana bar Rava, Amar Rav, K'derech shechalukim kan chalukim beis haknesses. When we lay in Parshas Hazinu, the places that the Gemara just indicated, we stop, that's where we have to stop when we lay in Parshas Hazinu. In other words, as the Pesukim say, Parshas Hazinu, we're not supposed to make Hasofis up to these 6 places, because these are the places where the specific independent messages given over, and that's where we're supposed to stop. In fact, there's a lot of discussion in the Pesukim, if a Baal Kohi made a mistake, and he stopped in the wrong place, how do you correct it that it should have these 6 places to start? However, after these 6 places, for the rest of the parasha, not that there's really that much left to the parasha, but for the rest of the parasha, there you can make Hasofis. B'michas of the Shabbos Mayayimrim, what was the shir that they said by Mincha? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oz Yashir, Umi Kamaycha, Be'elim Hashem, V'oz Yashir. Oz Yashir is the other shira, the shiras haber, Areli Be'er Enolai. Iboilu. Now ask the Gemara Rabbi Gerelich's question. When the Gemara says that we said Parshas Hazinu, Shabbos by Musaf, or we say these 3 things by Mincha, what does that mean? That we said the whole Parshas Hazinu every Shabbos and just stop between these places, and by Mincha we said all 3 of these things every Shabbos? What the Gemara meant to say is that every Shabbos there's a rotation, and every Shabbos we say 1/6 of these Parshas Hazinu, and by Mincha we say one of these 3. Toshma, the Tanya Amr Rabbi Yosi, Atch Rishon Amr Achas, Shniya Chazer Shtayim. The Raisa Rabbi Yosi means to say is that it takes us twice as long to finish the Shabbos morning rotation as to finish the Mincha rotation. Why? Because the Shabbos morning rotation is divided into 6. The Shabbos afternoon rotation is divided into 3. So for every Shabbos morning rotation, you finish 2 Mincha rotations. Shema Minoah, because Shabbos v'Shabbos Amrichad. Not that they said all Parshas Hazinu every Shabbos, they just said one of the portions. And by Mincha the same. Shema Minoah. This is interesting. Shalom Chinuch asks, what's the halacha Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? So on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, they brought a Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, and they brought a Musaf of Shabbos. Musaf of Rosh Chodesh has a Shira of Rosh Chodesh. So what did they say in such a week? Rosh Chodesh, Shira or Shabbos Shira. So Michas Chinuch says that they would say by Musaf the Rosh Chodesh Shira, and then by Mincha they would say both the regular Shabbos Musaf Shira and the regular Shabbos Mincha Shira. They would double up by Mincha. Shabbos Shanta the same. Amar Rav Yehuda bar Idi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Esam asos nosa shchina mikroi. The shchina, as it left the Beis HaMikdash, because of the Averus of Klal Yisrael, didn't just leave all of a sudden. It went with steps. And there are psukim that indicate those steps. Why 10? So I saw the Mefarshim explain. Two pshatim. One is, we know, it says in Pirkei Avos, Basaram Amoris Nivra Olam. The world was created by Saram Amoris. People who don't act properly are destroying this world that was created by Saram Amoris. So for those to reconcile to those of Saram Amoris, the Shechina left with 10 stops. Well, another pshat is, Avram Avinu, we know, went through 10 Nisyonos. That was the greatness of Avram Avinu. He was able to withstand the Nisyonos. These people who caused the Shechina to leave Klal Yisrael didn't withstand the Nisyonos. So to show the contrast, the Shechina left with 10 steps. Uknegdan, similarly, Gosel Sanhedrin Gemara. We have a tradition that the Sanhedrin took 10 steps until it was ultimately totally disbanded. Esam asos nosa Shechina mekroi. That we know from Psukim. What were they? Mekaparis lekruv. The first was from the Kaparis, right on top of the Aron, to the Kruv. The way most Mepharshim explain, went from the Kaparis to the Kruvim that Shlomo Melech built. There was a large, tall Kruvim that stood on the side of the Aron. The Kruv lemiftan. The Kruv went to the threshold of the Beis HaMikdash. Miftan lechatzer. Mechatz lemizbeach. Mizbeach legag. Megag lechaim. Mechaim leir. Umeir lehar. Mahar lemidbar, or midbar also v'yoshim kaimai. After the midbar, the Shechina went back to its original resting place. Shenemar eilech ashuva makaimai. I go back to where I started from. And now, as the Gemara said, we know this all from Psukim. Mikaparis lekruv, mikruv lekruv, or mikruv lemuftan. Tiksivaniyet v'naad til chasham. I will meet you with the baratit chamiyal kaparis. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to us from the kaparis. Tiksivan then the pasuk says v'yirkuv akruv v'yov. Then he went to the Kruv Yof, he flew away. Umikruv lemiftan. No, v'ksiv akvar el kai Yisrael, nal mal kruv. First it was on the Kruv, and then it left the Kruv. Ashahaya olav. El miftan habayis. The pasuk says it went from the Kruv to the door opening. Umiftan l'chatz, v'ksiv yimola habayis es ha'onon. Now the bayis was full of the onon. V'chatz malaya es noge kvar Hashem. Went to the chatzur. M'chatz muzbeg v'ksiv ra'ei. Rises Hashem nitzal on mizbeach. We see the Shechina kaviyachol on mizbeach. Mizbeach legag d'ksiv toiv l'sheves apinas agag. My place of resting is on the roof. Migag l'chad. The Mefarshim point out the gag was the last place in the Beis Hamikdash itself, because the gag we learned many times in Shas Loi Niskatshu don't have the holiness of the Beis Hamikdash. Migag l'chaim d'ksiv in Hashem nitzav achaimus anoch. He went to the wall. Mechaim l'ed d'ksiv kol Hashem l'ir yikra. Voice of Hashem is heard in the city. Miel ahad iksiv yalkvar Hashem miel toichir v'yamir alahar Hashem ikedem leir mihal lemidbar iksiv toiv shevis beretz midbar umemidbar also v'yoshem kaimen now went back to Shemayim iksiv elach ashuvi al mekaimen. Amar Rav Yochanan shisha chadashim is akve shechina liYisrael. For 6 months before the Shechina finally left Yisrael, it stayed in the midbar, hoping Shem Yachzum Tshuva, that they'll do Tshuva. Kimish Lechazru, once they didn't do Tshuva, Oima Tipach Atzmosim, they should rat. Shenema, Ve'ena Rishoyim Techleno, Omanos Oved Menhem, V'tikvosa Mapach Neshesh. And Rashi says, what were those 6 months? Those 6 months were from Asara B'Tavis till Tes B'Tamas. U'Kneged goes to Sanhedrin. Similarly, the Sanhedrin also went 10 stops. That we know from Gemara, we know from tradition. It went malicious agazos l'chanus. The Gemara says, the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says, why did it leave the lishkas agazos to go to l'chanus? So the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says that Sanhedrin was reluctant to execute people. Moreover, only when the Sanhedrin is sitting in the lishkas agazos by the Beis HaMikdash does it have a right to declare, decree someone is mechuyav misa. when murder became rampant in Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, the Sanhedrin didn't want to have to issue death sentences, so they moved out of the Lishkas HaGozos to the Chanus, so it shouldn't have to give death sentences. Mechanus l'Yushlayim, Mishlayim l'Yavna, Miyavna l'Usha, Mush l'Yavna, Miyavna l'Usha, Mush l'Shafram. The Mepharshim point out it went back and forth from Usha. Mishafram l'Beisharim, Beisharim l'Tzipari, Mitzipari l'Tveria, V'Tveria mukum akolim. Tveria is a very low-laying area. Shnema v'Shafaltim eretz tadabri. Rabbi Elazar oimer shish galus. The Rabbi Elazar says it went for six stops. Why six? So Mepharshim explain, because what's pshat that the Sanhedrin goes to Golos? Sanhedrin represents Torah. And when Klal Yisrael did not give the proper cover to Torah, we lose the Sanhedrin. How is Torah represented? With Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. So that's why he says it was six stops. Shnema Kesoch Yoshe Marim Kiryat Nizgava Yashpilana Yashpilana. That's two. Adaret Yagena is three and four. At Yagena at Ofer is another two. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Misham is in Legol, but there will be a Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. Shnema, Misnarim Ofer Kumishvi. Says the Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Shuban Karcha. Oizai Siskin Rabbi Yochanan Mazakai. Rabbi Yochanan Mazakai made another takana. Shafil Rosh Bezdin Mekamokim. Even if the Rosh Bezdin is not in the Bezdin, Shlayedim Holchim Elamokim Avad. We go back to Kiddush HaChodesh, that as we've been learning so many times, that the Edom used to come to say that they saw the new moon. And as we've learned, and we'll learn soon in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, we wanted to encourage Edom to come say they saw the new moon. If it's going to be difficult for them, they're not going to want to. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan Zaki made a takana that even if the Rosh Bezdin is not in the place where the Bezdin sits, we should take those Edus and make it a Kiddush HaChodesh, even without this Rosh Bezdin, just to encourage the Edom, not make it difficult that they're going to have to travel from one place to the next place until they meet up with the Rosh Bezdin. But the Miri does say that if the Rosh Bezdin is in the vicinity of the Makom Avad, for covered of the Rosh Bezdin, we call him that he should be there when we declare the new month. Moreover, the Torah Evan has an interesting shaila. He says when the Mishnah teaches us that they were Makadish HaChodesh in the Makom Avad, even if the Rosh Bezdin wasn't there, ask the Miri, what does that mean? Does that mean that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai taught us that we don't need the Rosh Bezdin? Or does it mean that they are Mekadosh the Chodesh, but it's conditional on the Rosh Bezdin accepting what they did? And if the Rosh Bezdin comes whenever he comes back and is dissatisfied with what they did, he could overturn it. He says it's not clear. Says the Gemara, Hehi itasei de'ezmin ladina kamei dameimah. There was a woman that was summoned to the Dintar by a Meimah, by an Adai. A Meimah lived in Adai, and summoned him. She was summoned to the Dintar in Adai. Ozla Meimah l'mechuzah. And a Meimah then traveled to Mechuzah, v'loi Ozla Basurai. And she said, I'm not going to Mechuzah. Kasa Pischa Levei. So he wrote a Cheirim on her. Why did he write a Cheirim on her? Because she wasn't respecting the Bezdin. Omle Rav Asher l'Meimah. But nan to nan, didn't we learn in our Mishnah that feel a Rosh Bezdin become Mokoyim, even the Rosh Bezdin isn't in the place of the Bezdin, Shlo Yehoi Edom Holchem Ela Mokom Avad, that the Edom only have to go to the Bezdin. So why are you upset at this woman that she didn't follow a Meimer to Mechuzah? Omlei, Hani Mili Eim Edis HaChodesh. We are we lenient, as we explained in the Mishnah, regarding Edus HaChodesh, Dimkein Nimtzas Machshin L'Asa Lovay. We want to encourage Edom to come, and if it's going to be difficult that they're going to have to schlep from place to place, they're not going to want to come. So that's why we suggest go to the Makom Avad and it's enough. Aval Hach, regarding here, Eved Loi V'Lishmalva, when a person borrows money, they have to do whatever it takes, because that's what happens when you're a borrower, and that's what they have to follow. So first of all, the Pais can make interesting observation. Generally, a person, we don't write a cheirim on a person for refusing to come to the Torah unless they refuse three times. Here it seems that they wrote immediately. So some paiskim want to say, and I'm not paskling this, I'm just making an observation, that when is there a halacha that you write a sirev only after three hazmanas were ignored? Was when a hazmana was sent and was ignored. But let's say a hazmana was sent, and the person who received the hazmana specifically said, I'm not coming. then even after one has mana, we could write a ksav siruf. Now, the Aruch HaNer, the Torah Evan, make an interesting observation in this Gemara. The Gemara seems to be somewhat contradictory. On one hand, the Gemara is saying that by Kiddush HaChodesh, we made a special kula, you only have to go to the Makom Beis Din. Why? Because we don't want to make it difficult for the Edom. Is mashma that in every other type of Din Torah, you have to go to wherever the Beis Din is. Then we look at the Gemara. The Gemara says that by halva, when you borrowed money, so since the pasuk says eved loy velish malva, there we say you have to go wherever the Beis Din is. What does that seem to indicate? That by every other type of Din Torah, you only have to go to the Beis Din. So what is it? Is it a kula on Kiddush HaChodesh? Or is it a chumra in Hilchas Havo? How do you learn this Gemara? So the Torah Evin or Chner, a lot of Mepharshim discuss it. The Teretz that I seem to like to work with is that generally you have to just go to where the Beis Din, you just have to go to where the Beis Din is. Or where the Beis Din summons you. The concept of Nimtzus Machshilon, that we have to think about the future, is only relevant to these two cases. What does that mean? Regarding Kiddush HaChodesh, where we want to encourage people to come say Eidus, so that's why we say go only to Beis Din. Regarding borrowing money, if I'm going to lend someone money, and then if I have to take him to Din Torah, he has all sorts of rights not to appear at the Beis Din, so I'm never going to want to borrow money. So again, we have a concept of nimtzus machshil lasad lavoi, that the person's not going to want to borrow money. And that's why, by Eidus HaChodesh, we're specifically lenient, and by Halva, we're specifically stringent. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara says, this is a Gemara Masech Tesoita. Ein Kahanim Mishoim Laos Pesandleim Meduchim. Kahanim are not allowed to wear shoes when they go for Nesias Kapayim. It's very interesting. There is a Morak Tzia that says why. The Morak Tzia says because it's like the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash weren't allowed to wear shoes. But that's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara Masechta Saita says an interesting Gemara. It says, if a Kohen will wear shoes when he goes up to Duchen, and then he sees his laces aren't tied, so what's he going to do? He'll sit down to tie his laces. And somebody in the Beis Medrash, Beis HaKnesses, will see the Kohen sitting down and say, you know, why is he sitting down? It must be because he realized that he's not really a Kohen. And a rumor will spread about this person that he's not really a Kohen. So that's why Chazal said, shoes should be removed before Nesias Kapayim. Unbelievable. And the Gemara says, even if you're wearing slip-on shoes, so you don't have to worry that your laces aren't tied, loy plug. Chazal made a rule, because of this concern, take off your shoes before you go to Duchen. There is an interesting machlokes apoiskim, and I've seen this in shuls that are very crowded, and to get all the kahanim up to the Duchen, up to the front of the Aron, is virtually impossible. The halacha is that the kohen just stands where he is and duchens. He just stands where he is. Sometimes he stands up on the chair, but he just stands where he is and he duchens. Apidin it's mutter. The question is, does the halacha of removing his shoe apply then also? Because maybe it's only a concern when he's up between the Kohanim, and that this one Kohen sits down, so people will spread rumors about him. He's not really standing amongst all the Kohanim then, so we don't have to be concerned. That's what some Paiskim say. Other Paiskim say, again, with the loy plug, once Chazal taught us that a Kohen should not wear shoes, when he duchens, it makes no difference if he's standing in front of the Aron or he's standing by his seat. This is one of the six takanas that Rav Yochim Zakkai made. Shis, there are six the high perka. The six takanas that were said in this perik. Number one is this one that we just learned. And then we learned that they blew shofar everywhere with the Beis Din. Number three is that the lulav is taken all 7 days, zeich l'migdash. Number four is Shiyei Yoyim Nath Kalasa, that all Tezai Nissen, we spoke about this yesterday, you know, the new Omer. Shei Mekabim Kala Yoyim, Rabbi Yochman Zakkai said that you could take Edim all day. Number six, what we just learned in the Mishnah, that the Edom only have to go to the place of Bezdin, they don't have to look for the Rosh Bezdin. Number seven is what Chodah the Pirkei Kama, is what we learned in the first parak, that Edis HaChodesh are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, to come say that they saw the new moon for Tishrei and Nisan. The Idach, and what are the other ones? The Tanya. Ger Shnis Gai Bezmanazah. If a Ger becomes a Ger nowadays, Tzorach Sheyim Yefresh Roival Kinoi. The Halach is Midai Raisa. The Geir's process, the conversion process, has to duplicate the conversion process of Klai Sobe Har Sinai. What happened there? They had, the men had bris milah, they had tefillah, and they brought a carbon. They also had tzos of them, that they had the blood spritzed on them. That's really the halacha, that how gerus should take place. But as the Gemara says in a number of places, Masechta Krisis, that the halacha is, so we could consider maybe that we can't take any gerim nowadays, because a ger can't bring a carbon. So the Gemara says that the obligation to bring a carbon is only when you can bring a carbon. And the Gemara says further there, Masechta Krisis, that everybody who became a ger owes a carbon. And the mitzvah show when the base of Migdash is built, they'll have to bring that carbon. So says the Gemara Masechta Krisis, Gersh and his guy Bezmanazah, again, it becomes again nowadays, Tzorach Shiyafish Revel Kinoi. He has to put away money, put it aside, for when Mashiach comes, and he'll have to bring that carbon. Om Rav Shim ben Lozer, Fanim Nala Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan came Ubitla. Why? Rav Nei Hatakola. Rav Yochanan was concerned, if we have money that's Hegdash, put away in your house, and we unfortunately don't have a Beis Hamikdash, people may come use that money, which is Hegdish, for their own personal needs. So he says, don't put away the money. So the Rishonim all asked the obvious question. How come we don't find a Gemara that says that if somebody does an Aveira, and he's Mechuyev a Karban Chatas, that he should put away money that when the Beis Hamikdash is built, he'll have to use that money for Karban Chatas? Sometimes Mechal Shabbos B'Shoigig, Rechman Al-Tzlan. He should have to put away money. There's no such Gemara. Why is there such a Gemara by Geiris? So the simple pshat is, there's a difference between becoming a Jew and just having a kapara. This geirus is reflecting somebody becoming Jewish. That's much more serious. But then I saw another pshat. A karma chattis, the halach is, we learned it many times, chattis shemesu balea. Let's say somebody set aside money or an animal for karma chattis, and the person then dies. That money no longer should be used for karma chattis. And the explanation we always give is, because death is the biggest kapara. What's the purpose of the karma chatos? To affect the kapara. The person's death already affected the kapara. He no longer is mechuyev a karma chatos. The Mefarshim explain that everybody's going to die before Mashiach comes. They may die and have tchiyas amesim. So if somebody's mechuyev a karma chatos, what do we say? He should put money away for the carbon that he owes. He won't owe a carbon, because he'll die before the Beis HaMikdash is built, and that death will be a kapara. However, the carbon that a ger brings is not a carbon chatos, it's a carbon oila. A carbon oila, death doesn't take away that chiv, and that's why only by a ger does the Gemara suggest he has to put away the money for the carbon oila, not by carbon chatos. Vidach, what is the other takana Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made? It says, the Gemara plucked the Rapapa Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rapapa Amar Kerem Ravai. Rapapa says it's regarding Kerem Ravai. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says it's regarding the Lashon Shel Zohairus. And the Gemara explains each thing separately. Rapapa Amar Kerem Ravai. We know that the first 3 years of fruit that's grown on a tree, it's orla. It may not be eaten. The fourth year, it's considered Ravai. Ravai means that it should be treated like Maaser Sheni. The fruit should be taken up to Yerushalayim and eaten in Yerushalayim. Or it should be redeemed, and the money should be taken up. So there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the Tanan, Kerem Ravai Hayoil Rishalayim Mahalach Yoyim L'chad Tzad. That even though Api Din Midaraisa, Kerem Ravai we could redeem, Chazal made a rule that if you live within 1 day's travel distance from Yerushalayim, you don't have the option of redeeming it. You have to actually take up the fruit itself. V'zui t'chuma, and what are the boundaries? Eilat min adorim, v'akravas min atzofen, lod min amariv, v'yardein min amizrach. So there's a few interesting machloikas in here that I saw. One shaila, as we know throughout Shas, there's a machloikas, what is the chiv of Ravai? is it limited to kerem, to a vineyard, or is it to a netter vay? Does it apply to all trees? Here the Gemara clearly says that this rule, that if you're within one day's distance of Yerushalayim, you have to take the fruit itself, it says kerem, it says regarding grapes. So there are two ways of understanding this Mishnah. Some explain the Mishnah, some Rishonim explain the Mishnah, that the Tana of this Mishnah is the Tana that holds that Revai only applies by grapes. And that's why the Mishnah only speaks about grapes. Others say that it doesn't only refer to grape. It doesn't go according to the Manda Omer. Even the Manda Omer that holds net the Revai, that Revai applies to all fruits, the din that we have to take the fruit itself to Yerushalayim only was by grapes. Why are grapes different than everything else? Because grapes were used for the Nesachim in the Beis HaMikdash, so they needed a lot of grapes for in Yerushalayim. So that's why they made a special rule regarding grapes, that any grape that was within a day's travel to Yerushalayim should be taken to Yerushalayim, not just be redeemed. V'amar Ula v'tamer Rav Bar Ula. Amar Rav Yochanan. Ma tam, what's the reason? K'dei la'at shuki Yerushalayim b'peiros. To beautify, like we just explained, Yerushalayim should have all these grapes. V'tanya. So we learned in the Braisa. Kam revai ha'ilel rebelezba mizuch lud. B'tzvak fa'atebi. Rebelezba had a vineyard next to Lud. Obikish rebelezba lafkir l'aniyim. Rebelezba did not want to have to carry all the grapes to Yerushalayim. And he knew that revai, there's no other option than not to be redeemed. Omeloi talmidov. Rebbe kvan nimna alech. So what he wanted to do was, he wanted to give it to the poor people. And let them take it. Item of Farshim ask that hefker aniyim lo yav a hefker, that if you just make hefker for a certain group, it's not considered a hefker. So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is that Rebbe Lezer was a Talmud of Beishamai. Throughout Shas we say Rebbe Lezer shemutihu. And Beishamai holds hefker aniyim have a hefker. Another lomdish terutz I saw is when is there a halacha that hefker aniyim lo yav a hefker? The Tzai says this teretz is only when you're not doing it in front of the poor people itself. But if the poor people are there and you're mafker in front of them, there everybody agrees hefker aniyim have a hefker. So in order to have to avoid carrying it himself, he was mafker to the aniyim. Amlai Talmidim, so his Talmidim told him, you don't have to go through this. Kvan nimla lech chavarecha v'tirua. Your colleague said that there's no reason to do this. Ma chavarecha, who does he mean? Rav Yochanan Hazakai. Rav Yochanan Hazakai said that after now the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and there's no concept k'dei la'at shukim b'Yerushalayim, the halacha that we could be poida the netter avai in wherever we are, even if we're so close to Yerushalayim, we come back to the original din d'oraisa. We don't have to be concerned about k'dei la'at shukim b'Yerushalayim. Rav Nachman b'Yitzchak Amar, what was Rav Yochanan Hazakai's takana regarding the lashon shel zahuris? The Tana. Originally on Yom Kippur, we learned these Gemaras from Sechta Yuma, they used to put a red thread outside the door of the Ulam. Actually, there's a very interesting Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that originally, everybody would tie on Yom Kippur on their own window a thread. And everybody would know where they stood. A person who had a kapara, his thread turned white. My neighbor didn't. But this caused, obviously, a lot of problems. So they stopped that. And they said there should be one thread put on the door of the ulam. Hilbim, if it got white, hayosmechim, because it showed they had a kapara. Loi hilbim hayotzevim. Hiskinu, but so to avoid this situation, hiskinu sheikoshna sa'apelachsech ulam befnim. V'dayin hayim mitzitzim v'roim. People used to try to peek in. Hilben are you smeichim? Why hilben are you atzevim? The mefarshim asked, how could you tie a thing on Yom Kippur? You're not allowed to make a shira on Yom Kippur. So some say they didn't make a knot, they made a bow. But that doesn't either really work, because according to some mefarshim, a neve is also asur. So how could they tie it on Yom Kippur? So one teretz I saw is they didn't tie it on Yom Kippur, they prepared it from Erev Yom Kippur. Another teretz I saw is that they... What's the Issek Shira? The Issek, Reb Shulayb Diskin says this teretz. What does Shira mean? That I want a permanent knot. I don't want this knot to remain permanent. I only want it for that one moment. So since it's afterwards, I don't care if it stays or doesn't stay. And that's why it's not considered a permanent knot. Heskina shekari shenai soy, chetzi basala, v'chetzi ben kranov, shesir hamiz da'aleich. They didn't put it at all by the base of Middash where people could see. They put it by the mountain where they threw down the soil azazel that nobody was there, and that's where they tied it, not where everybody could see. So I saw a very interesting shaila. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that they stopped tying this red thread. Why? Because the Gemara says, because when it turned white, they were happy, and when it turned red, when it didn't turn white, they were upset. So what's the reason they made the takana? Was Rabbi Yochanan worried that they shouldn't be upset? The halach is that in Yom Kippur, you're not supposed to be upset. So he didn't want people to be ba'atzvis. So he says, I don't want to put on the thread. Or was the reason he didn't want them to be happy? He didn't want them to get overconfident. They saw that the thread turned white, so now they feel comfortable that there's nothing to worry about. So there's a shaila, what was he trying to prevent? Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman Yitzchak my tamaloy amo krapapa. Why did Rav Nachman Yitzchak say like krapapa that the takana was regarding kamravai? Amlach isak datak Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai chaver of Rav Elazar. How could Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai be called Rav Elazar's colleague? Mihava, Rabbi Hava. He was his Rebbe. So how could Rabbi Elazar's Talmidim tell Rabbi Elazar, your chaverim, your colleague, undid this takana? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is not his colleague, he's his Rebbe. Answers the Gemara, v'idach, they explain themselves. Kivin Talmidim Hava, lav oruch la memr leila rabbi rabbach. Of course Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Rabbi Elazar's Rebbe. But who was speaking to Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar's Talmidim. When Rabbi Elazar's Talmidim was speaking to Rabbi Elazar, they didn't want to use the word Rebbe. It wasn't respectful enough. So they called Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai a colleague, even though he was actually Rabbi Elazar's Rebbe. Rav Papa, my Tamil Amak, Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rav Papa, why doesn't he agree with Rav Nachman Yitzchak that the ninth takon is regarding this Lashon Zahurus? Amalai, Isak Adayt, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, how could you say that this takana was made in the time of Yochanan ben Zakkai? Mi Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai mihava loshen shel zohiris. Did this process even take place during Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's time? V'tanya, kol shnoisav shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai meiv esrim shana. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived a total of 120 years. Mem shana for the first 40 years of his life, asuk ramachi. He was a businessman. Mem shana for the next 40 years, lomad. He sat and learned. Mem shana for the last 40 years of his life, limeid. He was the Tana teaching Torah. For Tanya, we learned another braisa. Mem shana kodim shenechrav habayis. For the last 40 years of the existence of the Beis HaMikdash, lo yahavish shoshen shazurus malbin. Then the red thread never turned white. El ma'adam. It always remained red. The Tana, meshecharav habayis, hiskin Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai's time of leadership was during the last 40 years of the chorb, of the existence of the bias. Then there was never issue of turning white. It never turned white. So how could the Gemara say that they made a takana because sometimes it turned white, sometimes it turned red. It never turned white. Vidach, how will he explain that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai did make this takana? Oysim abom shona delomad. The 40 years that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai wasn't yet a Tana. He was just a Talmud. Talmud Yoshel Fnei Rabbahe. He was a good student, obviously, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'oma milsa v'stabra tamai. So even though he wasn't yet a Tana, but when they were teaching in the yeshiva, and they were talking about the red thread, and he told his rabbis, you know, I think that we should be mevatel this thing about the red thread, because it's causing problems. So the rabbis, even though he was the Talmud, cover Rabbi Bishmei, the Rebbe accepted what he said, and it was considered his takana, even though he wasn't yet a Tana. So he says that it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana, even though it was made by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai before he was ever a Tana. Okay, we're going to get up to show you. We're going to start here on Monday.
Well, the two dots, okay.
In the middle of Lama Dalar and Beza, two dots.
A person said he wanted to give a body home, and he passed away to his relatives.